Chapter 22, The Rest of Redemption. Few of us know the reality of the rest mentioned in Hebrews 4:1. Let us fear, therefore, lest haply a promise being left of entering into his rest, any one of you should seem to have come short of it. When Jesus had finished his work, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Hebrews 1:3. Also Hebrews 8:1. Now in the things which we are saying, the chief point is this. We have such a high priest, who sat down on the right hand of the throne of the Majesty in the heavens. Also, Hebrews 10:12. But he, when he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. He had finished his work. His work was wrought for us, not for himself. He entered into his rest, and in Hebrews 4:3, for we who have believed do enter into that rest. And in Hebrews 4:11, let us therefore give diligence to enter into that rest, that no man fall after the same example of disobedience or unpersuadableness. That is the rest of faith. It is the end of worry and struggle. You no longer seek for faith or power. You have become one with him. You have come to appreciate the work that he did for you and the work that the Holy Spirit through the Word has done in you. You have come to know that you are what he says you are in him. You know that you are a new creation. You know that you have passed from death unto life. You know that you have the very life and nature of the Father in you. You know that as he is now at the right hand of the Father, you are down here on earth. You know that you are a part of the body, a member of it. You know that you were raised together with him. You know that no matter what may come to your life, you are more than a conqueror. These are facts that you know. You now enter into his rest, the rest that he purchased for you. You have reached the end of the worry route. You are now so completely identified with him, so utterly one with him, that the Father looks upon you as he looks upon his first begotten, and because of that, peace that passes all understanding fills your very being. You remember Philippians 4, 6, and 7. We ought to become thorough masters of that scripture, and that scripture should become our master. Notice what it says, in nothing be anxious. You see, you are in a place of rest, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Why are you full of thanksgiving? Why is your heart filled with peace and rest? Why are you so joyful? Because you know that whatsoever you ask the Father in Jesus' name, he will give it you. Even to Israel he said, call unto me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You are not under the law. You are a son. You are an heir. You are a member of the body, and he has invited you to come boldly to the throne of grace, and you have accustomed yourself to standing in his presence. So now you are not anxious. You have believed. I know the child is sick. The doctors have given him up to die, but you prayed for him. Your heart is filled with thanksgiving, and you are praising the Father. Your relatives and loved ones can't understand you. They whisper that mother is beside herself. You are not. You are beside the Master. The lo, I am with you always is a reality to you. You have entered into your rest. You know that no word from God is void of fulfillment, and that in every word there is ability to make good. You have prayed, and you thank him for the answer. The answer is just as sure as the sun is to shine in the morning. You have made your request known unto the Father, and now the miracle happens. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, has taken possession of your heart and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. You haven't a thought of worry or care. You haven't a burden. 1 Peter 5:7 illustrates this perfectly. Casting all your anxiety upon him, because he careth for you. You are not interested in the roaring of the adversary, nor the questioning of your friends, or the doubts of other people. You know that your expectation is from him. You rest on his word. You have entered into his rest. When Jesus prayed, that settled it. There was no more talk about it. The answer had to come. Whatsoever ye ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. That settles it. You asked, didn't you? Well, the answer is on the way. You are careful for nothing now. You know that you and the Father are working together. They can't fence you in with circumstances. Philippians 4:11 through 13. Know I have learned in whatsoever condition I am to be independent of circumstances. I am schooled to bear the depths of poverty. I am schooled to bear abundance. In life as a whole and in all circumstances, I have mastered the secret of living, how to be the same amidst repletion and starvation, amidst abundance and privation. I am equal to every lot through the help of him who gives me strength. Way translation. You say you have come into the place where circumstances no longer terrify, where the word of man is but the word of man to you. The word of a doctor is only the word based on sense evidence. The word of God liveth and abideth. No word from God is void of fulfillment. The word of God is speaking to you. To you, the word and God are one. You haven't learned to separate Jesus from his words. The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. That is, they deal with your spirit nature and they give life and victory and peace and rest to your soul. You are resting in the word. Once you rested in the word of man, but you found that there was no rest for you. Now you are resting in his rest. You see, it is the end of the fear of Satan, for he has been defeated. It is the end of the fear of sickness, for by his stripes you are healed. It is the end of lack. You fear it no longer. Your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Want and fear have stopped being as far as you are concerned. You never think of your weakness, for Jesus has become your ability. The greater one is living in you. It is the end of ignorance. You have studied the Pauline revelation until it has become a part of your knowledge of your very life. Colossians 1, 9-12, in the translation I am giving you now, should be a part of your life. It says, I do not cease to pray and make request for you, that ye may be filled with the exact knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Can you see the breadth of that? You know his will. You are filled with exact knowledge of the Father's will in all your life. You are filled with wisdom to use the knowledge that you have gained in your study of the word. That wisdom has enabled you to walk worthy unto the Lord in all pleasing. You have reached the place where you are bearing fruit in every good work. It is the fruit of righteousness. You have become skilled in the word of righteousness. You know your rights and privileges before the throne, and you have faith's fearlessness to enter the Father's presence anytime, anywhere, and make your request known. You lounge around in the throne room, visiting with the Father in Jesus. You are more familiar with your Father in Jesus than you are with those with whom you have associated for years. I hear your heart whisper, I know him in whom I have believed. Now you walk worthy of the Lord, and you are pleasing him. You have become a Father pleaser as Jesus was. John 8:29, I please the Father in all that I do, saith the Master. You are increasing as you study the word in that exact knowledge of the Father. It is a wonderful life you are living because the Wonder One is in you. The Wonder One is your teacher. But hear the 11th verse, made strong with his ability according to the might of his glory. This has given you steadfastness. Where other people are breaking down and going to pieces, you are steadfast. You are immovable. You are always abounding in the work of the Lord. You are strengthened for long-suffering. People can't understand how you put up with things. You whisper to them, all things work together for good to me, because I am in his will, and the very circumstances that rob you of your rest increase my rest. The very opposition that destroyed your faith builds mine, and you can't understand why I am filled with joy unspeakable and full of glory. He and I are laboring together. I am a partaker of his faith. I breathe in his very life. There was a steadfastness and a quietness about Jesus that has stopped being a wonder to me. It has become my very joy, for I have entered into it, and I am increasingly continually in this exact knowledge of my rights and privileges in Christ. This is the reason that I am giving thanks unto the Father, who has given me the ability to enjoy my share of the inheritance of the saints in light. You see, I not only enjoy it, but I am able to tell others and give them a hunger after it, and then I am able to show them the secret of entering in. You remember Colossians 2:2-3, don't you? That their hearts may be comforted, they being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding. The fullness of assurance. That is wonderful, isn't it? That makes you think of Colossians 2:9, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and in him ye are made full or complete. He made me that way. I couldn't do it. He took me over, and he built his fullness, his completeness into me. Now I am rejoicing in the full assurance of understanding, that they may know the mystery of God, even Christ. Now hear this third verse, in whom we are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge hidden. Now I am going to take you back to Proverbs 20:27. The spirit of man is the lamp of Jehovah, searching all his innermost parts. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge and love and grace are hidden treasure chambers of Christ. He lighted up my spirit as a lamp, and I went down into the hidden treasure chambers of Christ, and I found the riches of his grace. I became an explorer of the hidden things in Christ, and his light lighted the way into them. Now I become a possessor of these riches. They are mine, and I live in the fullness of my riches in Christ. See, they belong to us. There is no place for poverty in him. The Father never made a weak Christian. He has no pleasure in our weakness. Some of us have thought that all the trials that come to us are God sent. They are not. The Father doesn't need the devil to purify and beautify his own. No, these trials and difficulties are all Satan-inspired, and God has given us ability to know this now. And so we are taking our place and rebuking the author of our troubles and commanding him to leave us alone. We have found a strange, sweet quietness in the heart of love. You see, we have entered into rest. There is no unpersuadableness in our hearts. No matter how big the things, how difficult to human reasoning, how many times sense knowledge rejects it, I am persuaded by the very living word that he is able to lead me into all the riches of the finished work of Christ. And because I know this, I have yielded my spirit to the lordship of love. I have allowed the word to dwell in me richly, and I have come to know the reality of these mighty truths of redemption.